Well, last week in our reading, our passage ended with these words. This is verse 30 in John 8. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Many believed in Jesus. They believed Jesus' words, the words that he spoke. They believed Jesus' teaching, his teaching. They believed what Jesus said about himself. Now, the question is, and that's the question that our passage explores, how deep was their belief? Was it rock solid? Was it firm? Was it embedded deep within their heart? Was it true? True belief. Now, in today's passage, Jesus addresses, he speaks to those who had believed in him. And he speaks to them in the temple, in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago. And Jesus also speaks these words to you at Covenant Presbyterian Church here in Jackson, Mississippi, 2,000 years later. And Jesus speaks to you, and he gives a challenge. Jesus extends a challenge, offers a challenge to those who believe. Look at verse 31 again. Verse 31, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." The challenge that Jesus gives is to abide in his word. Abide in the word of Jesus. Abide in the word of God. Now, the Greek word translated abide here literally means to dwell. To dwell. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he wants you to dwell in his word. To put it another way, he wants you to make your home in his word, to live in his word, to be centered upon his word, to rest in his word, to find refuge in his word. The challenge that Jesus gives is for you to make your home in his word. So what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? Well, first of all, to live in the Word, to dwell in the Word, to abide in the Word means that you are reading the Word. You're hearing the Word. It means you're reading the Bible, you're reading the Scriptures, you're hearing the Scriptures, and you're doing so by yourself, on your own, but also in community, in fellowship with other Christians, with your family, in church, in Bible studies, in Sunday school classes, in worship, just like this, week after week after week. To live in the Word means that you are making God's Word the center of your life, integral to your life, to your world, your time. To live in the Word means that you desire to listen to it, to be faithful to it, to be obedient to it, to live under it, and to live by it. It's a challenge because it means you might have to move. It's a challenge because it means you might have to make a change of residence. You might need to find a new address, and here's what I mean. Abiding in the Word, dwelling in the Word, living in the Word means that you can no longer live in other words. It means that you can no longer abide in other words. It means that you can no longer be faithful to other words. You can no longer be obedient to other words. You can no longer be centered upon other words. And what I mean by other words is anything outside of God's word that is contrary to God's word. Other words are anything outside of God's word, contrary to God's word. Any thought, ideas, philosophies, theologies, ethics. The reality is this. Ideas have power. ideas have power. They have extraordinary power. They have the power to shape your thinking. They have the power to shape the way you look at the world. They have the power to influence decisions that you make, the way that you live your life. Now, whether these words that I'm talking about, outside of God's word, contrary to God's word, whether these words are your own thoughts, your own desires, your own will, or whether they're another's, whether the word is another's, someone who's close to you, or whether the word is something from our culture, or something from entertainment, or something from politics, or some sort of ideology, whatever that ideology may be, whether it's liberalism, or conservatism, or feminism, or socialism, or whatever ism, or what's typically the case in 21st century America, is that we blend aspects of a number of words. We just kind of pull them together and make our own. But what Jesus says is, you can't live there anymore. You can't stay there. Jesus is saying, you got to move. So this challenge from Jesus is actually an invitation from Jesus. It's an invitation to a new home, to live in Him, to live in His Word. Now, notice when Jesus says this, notice he doesn't offer any particulars about it. He doesn't offer you any specifics about it. He doesn't say, read your Bible between meals. He doesn't say, read your Bible every hour on the hour. He doesn't say, or read your Bible facing the east on Wednesday when the sun rises. He doesn't do anything like that. He just says, dwell, abide. Live. Outside of weekly worship, it's up to you. Guided by the Holy Spirit, it's up to you. Now, ideally, we should have a strong desire. We should have a deep longing to read God's Word. We should have a love for God's Word. We should have joy in reading God's Word. That's what we should have. What we should long for and hope for. And that will be true for some seasons. But that reality won't be experienced all the time. And you know this. You've experienced this. Other times we will find any and every excuse not to. Whether we're tired or whether we're busy or maybe it's Saturday or maybe we don't understand what we're reading. Do it anyway. Read it anyway. Don't wait until you feel like it. That might not come for a long time. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't rely on your feelings. Make it a discipline. Abide. Dwell. Live. Let it be integral to your life. Let it be integral to your week. Let it be integral to your family. Let it be integral to your day. And the other thing is this, that's individual, but the communal aspect is important too. Not only do you need to abide in the Word by yourself, you need to be part of a community. So join a church. And most of you here today are members of Covenant, but not all of you. Not all of you. Become an official part of a local community of faith centered upon the Word that abides by the Word. And we want that to be here. We hope that that's here. That's the challenge Jesus gives. And with this challenge, with this invitation, notice that Jesus offers a promise. He actually offers two promises. Hear the words of Jesus again. If you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you live in Jesus' Word, if you abide in God's Word, if that's your home, then He says you're truly His disciple. You're truly His follower. That means your belief is deep, it's solid, it's firm, it's embedded within your heart. And here's the second promise. You'll know the truth. You'll truly be his disciple, and you will know the truth. In this home that Jesus invites you to live in, as a true disciple, you will know the truth. The word reveals the truth. The word imparts the truth. Now, sometimes that truth is a difficult truth. Sometimes that truth is a hard truth. It's hard to hear. It's difficult to hear. Like the truth that we're slaves, that we're in bondage, that we're in chains to sin. Jesus says this in verse 34 of our passage. Jesus says, truly, truly. And whenever Jesus starts with that, truly, truly, in the Greek it's amen, amen. Truly, truly. When Jesus begins with that, ears open. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. If you practice sin, then you're a slave to sin. Here, Jesus shows that our understanding of sin has to be twofold. Twofold. First, sin is an act. Sin is an act. It's a deed. It's a word. It's a thought that is contrary to God's desire, contrary to God's design. And God's desire, God's design is love. Love. That you live a life of love. That you live life focused outside of yourself. That you live your life selfless, sacrificial, loving God and loving your neighbor in thought and word and deed. Now, failing to do so is sin. Failing to love is sin. It's disobedience to God. When you fail to love just once, just one time, even if it's just a thought, then you sin. You've practiced sin. Now, Jesus shows that sin also has another dimension. Sin is not just failing to love. Sin is not just disobeying God. Sin is also a power. It's a force. It's an authority outside of us, external to us, that seeks to control us. And Jesus says, when we sin, we are a slave to sin. When we fail to love, we are a slave to sin. When we fail to love, we're in bondage to sin. We are in chains to sin. And this slavery leads to death. Death. Again, this is a difficult truth. Those whom Jesus spoke to in our passage denied it. The ones that Jesus talked to in our passage denied it. They weren't enslaved. They had never been enslaved. They were children of Abraham. And if we're honest, we want to deny it too. Our initial reaction, if you're like me, our initial reaction is to deny it. I'm not enslaved. I don't have chains. There's no power over me. I'm free. I'm free to do what I want. I'm free to do what I desire. But the question is this, are you free to do what God wants? Are you free to do what God desires? Are you free to love? Are you free to truly love? Are you free to live selflessly, sacrificially? Are you free from death? The truth can set you free. The truth can set you free. And Jesus Christ is truth personified. The Son is truth incarnate. He is truth in flesh. Look at verse 35 again. Verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you are a slave, you're not a member of the household. If you are a slave, you can't free yourself. But the Son can. The Son is a member of the household. The Son can set you free. And Jesus says the Son can make you free indeed. Jesus can make you free indeed. The truth will set you free. And through his death upon the cross, through his crucifixion, through his rising from the grave, through his resurrection, he breaks your bonds. He looses your chains. He frees you. He liberates you. You're no longer a slave, but a son. You're no longer a slave, but a daughter. A child of God, a member of the household with a permanent address. Through the truth, because of the truth, on account of the truth, Jesus. Now make no mistake, there is one who seeks to lead you from the truth. There is one who seeks to lead you from the Word of God. There is one who desires that you reject the truth, that you reject the Word of God. And that's the evil one, the devil, Satan, the serpent. Jesus says this about him in verse 44 of our passage. Jesus says, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And this has been true since the beginning. Our Old Testament reading this morning was from Genesis. Genesis begins at the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, when God created all that is in them out of nothing, when God created our first parents, Adam and Eve. God set them in a garden, the Garden of Eden, and God asked them to tend it, to work it, to care for it. Adam and Eve existed in true freedom. They had freedom with God. They had freedom under God. They had freedom to love selflessly, sacrificially. And there was only one rule, one law, one prohibition. God spoke to them. God spoke to them and he told them not to eat of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God spoke to them and God told them if they ate of this one tree that they would die. Then in chapter 3, our reading, the serpent, the evil one, Satan, enters the garden. Evil comes in from the outside, and the serpent speaks to Eve. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden"? The serpent speaks words of doubt, questioning God's word to sow doubt, questioning God's word to plant doubt. Did God actually say, is this really his word? Is this true? And the serpent, make no mistake, the serpent continues to whisper these words today in your ears, in my ears. Did God actually say? Did God actually say there is no salvation in any other name other than Jesus Christ? Did God actually say if you are angry with your brother in your heart, then you're liable to judgment? Did God actually say that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church? Did God actually say love your enemy? Did God actually say forgive someone 70 times 7? Did God actually say that through Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God? Did God actually say? Well, Eve answers the serpent, yes, God did tell us. God told us not to eat of the tree or we would die. Eve shows that she knows God's word. She repeats God's word. But unabated, the serpent changes tactics. Instead of sowing doubt, he speaks these words, you will not surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Instead of simply sowing doubt, the serpent speaks lies like poison, because that's his nature. Jesus says he's the father of lies, contradicting God's word, rejecting God's word. And Satan continues to speak lies today, poison with lies today, whether that's through our culture or through philosophy or through ideas or through entertainment that contradict God's word, that reject God's word. Whether that's concerning sexuality or materialism or life or community. Eve 8. And Adam 8. They disobeyed God's word. They failed to love God. And sin entered the garden. Sin entered creation, the first sin, and everything changed. Everything changed. They became slaves to sin, cursed to death, as has everyone since. Every descendant of Adam and Eve, you and me. But the truth can set you free. The truth can set you free. Do you believe? Do you believe? How deep is your faith? Are you abiding in the Word? Is your home in God's Word? Are you truly a disciple? Do you know the truth? My prayer is that you do. My prayer is that you know the truth, that you are growing in the truth, that you are living the truth, and that you are proclaiming the truth in your life, by your deeds, and through your words. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your word. Father, help us to abide in it. Help us to dwell in it. Help us to live in it. Thank you for this invitation that you give us to this home. And thank you for the promises that you give, that by living in your word, we will truly be your disciples and that we will know the truth and be free. Father, free us through Jesus. Thank you for freeing us through Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.